The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Johnny Sexton, how are you doing? You in good form?
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, you must be raring to go now and excited about playing matches again and everything, are you?
Yeah, I've had a good extended break, not wanted, but taken. So I'm looking forward to getting into the season now. We've had a good block of pre-season. Very different group for me, a lot younger than, you know, I know I'm a lot older than everyone else, but like even younger again, that just with the academy guys training. So it's been good for me. It's been good I think to sort of for me to be around them young lads as well more often, which has been the case. So it's been a great block.
Good for you in what way?
Well, like good for to make sure that I'm, you know, building relationships with them. You know, often when these academy guys come in the middle of the season, you know, they don't really know you. You know, you're breaking ice in the middle of the season, which is never good. Like, whereas mm-hmm. now you've done a pre-season with them and you've built relationships, because the guys I've played with for, you know, a good few years now in Leinster, they know me very well. So it's easy to build those relationships quickly during the season. Like when Robbie comes back from the Lions, you know, they're not back yet. So when he comes back, Ty, Jack, it's easy to pick up, you know, it's easy to chat to them. So it's been good from that point of view.
And are things more back to normal in training camps now, or is it still quite strict around the COVID stuff and everything?
Yeah, it would be still quite strict. You know, we're still masks on in meetings, we're still socially distant in meetings. But it's back to normal in a lot of ways. Like, you know, like I suppose the world has gone back to normal. So we're just following you know, government restrictions as much as anything, and once we're in line with them, we're okay.
Now, listen, you mentioned the lads coming back from the Lions there. So, obviously, you're one of the most celebrated sportsmen in Ireland. You've captained Ireland, Leinster, won Heineken Cup, Six Nations, Grand Slams, 2 World Player of the Year, 2 Lions tours, you've beaten the All Blacks, all of that. The big headline this week is that you will never get over being left out of the Lions tour this year.
I kind of said every player that didn't get picked would be hurt. Like Gary Ringrose would be no different. James Ryan, I suppose they'll get other chances, and I'm sure they will become Lions. I'm definitely sure of that. For me, it was the last chance. You know what I mean? I won't be around for the next Lions tour. I've never been to South Africa ever in my career.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah, that I've been to New Zealand about 50 times, but I've never been to South Africa. So it was one that I sort of had targeted and I desperately wanted to do, because if you, as a player, like you want to do some special things, like, and to be a 3-time Lion would have been very, very special. And then my target was to be a 3-time Test Lion and go unbeaten. And that wasn't to be, but look, it's like I said, you'll never get over, because the disappointment won't leave you, I suppose, but you got to try and use the motivation to kick you on again and to have a successful period. Like, so it's it was tough watching, but look, I'm
was
over
it?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you'd spoke to me, and I didn't speak to anyone for months, so if you spoke to me a few months ago, I think I'd be probably not more bitter about it, but I would have been in a different frame of mind, whereas now I've accepted it. You know, like I said, it'll be hard to get over the disappointment, but because you can never get it back. You know, if you miss a European Cup game and you lose, like, you know, we lost last year with Leinster and I missed it, you know, you always have another chance, you know, until it's your last one. But I know I've got another chance to go and win Europe this year, whereas with the Lions, it's sort of a line drawn under it now, gone. So that was where most of the disappointment came from.
I'm surprised, though, to say that you feel you'll carry that disappointment on. Like I don't know, I guess I assumed at the level you're at and mental toughness and everything that you would just be used to kind of, you bounce back from disappointments. I know this one's different, but that, you know, you move on, but obviously it kind of hurts somewhere deep a bit.
Yeah, of course, but like I've always had a lot of I've had loads of setbacks in my career. Like, you know, every year you have setbacks, and I love trying to bounce back from it. It's what I would, when people say when you retire, like, it's what I love people to remember me for. Like, because everyone has bad days, but it's how you come back from them. And so I've always tried to bounce back from them. You know, but I've always carried my disappointments with me, because it's fuel for the it's fuel for the fire. Like, you know, it's I don't mind that. You know what I mean? It's a little, you know, when I'm struggling to, you know, go to training on a wet, cold day, like, you know what I mean? That's the thing that'll get me up, because I don't want to have failure again.
Okay. Not to kind of pour salt in the wound or anything, but I don't know how these things work, right? But what would have driven me over the edge was like that. You were on standby and presumably you're training really hard and everything, and you obviously had some idea that, you know, you might go out if something happened. And then Finn Russell had injury problems and you didn't get the call then. Did that kind of double down on the hurt then?
Well, no, the process works that everyone, like, there's a squad that gets a letter before the final selection, and you tick whether you want to be considered for selection. So you tick yes, of course. You tick if you're not selected for the initial squad, would you go on standby? So obviously you tick yes. So I ticked all those boxes, but I never got any clarity on whether I was on standby, because, you know, the people's form goes up and down. So if you're on standby but you're playing poorly, you know, you mightn't get called up. Someone might overstep you in the pecking order. So I don't know whether that happened or whether Marcus Smith, who had a great end to the season, I don't know whether he could have been ahead of me in the pecking order. Anyway, it's hard to know. I haven't spoke to anyone about it, so it's me just guessing. I trained hard and I kept myself fit in case something happened, but I suppose as the Lions tour was going on, the hope was fading, and I just then went on to fan mode and just watched the game like a spectator.
Okay, and you were able to do that?
As a rugby player, you look at the game differently. You'll never look at it like a true spectator. You'll be looking at the intricacies of a move and what are they trying to do there, and you know, why are they doing this? So you probably look at it very differently. But yeah, I got to sit down. I watched a couple of games with friends or with my brother, and it wasn't enjoyable, but it was it's good to see, you know, from a different perspective.
On that kind of stoicism, I know that Joe Schmidt taught you all mindfulness and got you into mindfulness. Do you still keep that up?
Yeah, I try to, yeah. You know, it's a big part of, I suppose, athletes' preparation now, or it should be at least. You know, we're big into it in Leinster. We've got sessions on, you know, in the mornings, a couple of mornings a week. Our nutritionist, Daniel Davey, is sort of heading that up. And I think it's important for guys for their mental health as much as your physical, you know, performance and your mental performance, your health as well. It's so important. So we're big into it now, and it's not for everyone. You know, it's not compulsory. The sessions are there and guys can dip in and out as they like, and then some more guys would do it, you know, a few more times by themselves. So it's
and it works for you, yeah?
Yeah, I think I spoke about it previously, like in 2017 I had a bad year with injury. I was a lot of stressful things going on and building a new house. I had a couple of new kids, stuff like that. Like, you know, stuff that on top of, you know, your everyday job can just get you running down a bit. And I turned to it then, and the subsequent year, I had obviously the best year of my career in many people's eyes. You know, we won Grand Slam Europe. We beat the All Blacks. We got crowned team of the year, world team of the year. So, you know, I suppose I've kept it up since then.
What's your practice?
Meditation, really. Mindfulness meditation. You know, I dip into different ones. We've got with Ireland now, we've got a performance. I don't know what his title is. It's Gary Keegan's his name, and he comes in and he's always giving guys new practices or new audios to listen to and try. And so it's brilliant to keep things fresh. And he's a big advocate of as well. So he's a brilliant guy to work with.
Yeah. And like the funny thing is, you read a lot of these mindfulness books and a lot of them will talk about high performance sports as being, in a way, like, it's the ultimate in mindfulness, isn't it? When you're out there and you're in the zone and presumably in your flow, and sometimes it must just feel as if you're, I don't know, you can't do anything wrong. Like, you can see every angle and you're just in it, are you?
That's exactly it. That's the perfect definition of flow. And that's what you crave as an athlete, as a professional rugby player. You want to be in that state more often. you know, it's hard to get to, you know, because there's a lot of distractions. But I found when I was doing all those practices, we'd finish games and we'd be doing a review on a Monday morning or Tuesday morning. And I, you know, found that I was forgetting bits of the game. You know, I was like, geez, I forgot about that, because I was so like, you know, used to being, or trying to stay in the moment, you know, because one of my biggest strengths would probably be like trying to see what's happening a couple of phases ahead. You know, and then when you're captain and you're the out half, you're trying to, you know, manage the game. So you're trying to, you know, think two phases ahead or a score ahead, or you're trying to think of what you're going to do next. But often that's bad, because it's, you know, you're trying to stay in the moment. You're trying to
you concentrate don't want to be on thinking.
What's in your... Yeah, so it's a balance between that, you know, and making sure that you move on from mistakes, or you move on from the last moment to the concentrate on the next one.
Yeah.
So it's been good for me in lots of ways.
Do you think, did the mindfulness knock a few edges off you as well, maybe, as you intend to do for us?
I hope not all of them. But hopefully a couple. You know, it does. It helps you, you know, bite your tongue at times, or not sort of say everything that's on your mind, you know, as easy as sometimes it is. But look, it's like I've said before, I'd rather be the player that gets told to calm down a little bit rather than the person that has to be G'd up or, you know, kicked up the arse all the time. So, you know, you want different people in different teams. I think that's what makes good teams. You've got, you know, good cops, bad cops. You got guys that are chilled out, guys that are on the edge, and when you bring it all together, you know, it's a good team. So, I think that's what I've always tried to say, anyway.
So, listen, with so obviously you decided not to play the last two Leinster games, and then you kind of rested from a few Hurling games. So that really, that mini sabbatical since April, and then I suppose, with the pandemic and everything else, have you been spending a lot more time at home and with the family and stuff than you would be used to?
Yeah, and obviously we weren't allowed to travel either. So, you know, it was home in Dublin. So, which was great. You know, it is good. I've got obviously three young kids, and, you know, they were in school at the back end of last year, but then they were off school for a good few months. So it was good to spend some time with them. Open my eyes to my wife's job. She's a stay-at-home mum, but she's that's a tough job. I was glad to get back to training when the offer was there. But it was good to spend some time with them.
And so in general, then the rest of the time, is there a certain sacrifice, like for the job you do, is there a certain sacrifice of family life? And as you say, you were playing, you know, a lot, and at a very high level, at a time when the kids were kind of being born and young and everything. Do you miss out a bit there,
I wouldn't view it as sacrifice. It does take its toll at times, but, you know, I suppose with Ireland and stuff, we're based in Dublin. So, you know, you could be away for two and a half months for a Six Nations campaign, for example. But before COVID came, you're always allowed to go home. So I'd get home on, you know, Tuesday night. I'd stay at home on a Tuesday night. I'd go in and do my kicking on a Wednesday, but then I'd spend all day at home on a Wednesday. So the middle part of the week, I was always home a good bit then.
And when you're at home, you're able to be present and available to everyone. You're not like focused elsewhere.
That's something that I'm still working on. You know, when you're at home, obviously you're trying to be there, but, you know, when you've got a job that you care about, or you know, and you want to perform, it's hard not to get drawn into what's happening, you know, back at, you know, Carton House where we train, you know, or getting drawn into phone calls and meetings and stuff. But, you know, it's not sacrifice. We're doing what we love to do, you know what I mean? But it does take away from your family time. But like any job does, doesn't it? Like, you know,
absolutely.
Like people work 9 to 5 or 8 to 5, and you know, we probably see our kids more than that. So we should be very lucky. But obviously there's periods where you could be gone for World Cup, for example. We were gone for the guts of, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know, with all the travel and with, you know, all the training camps. But that's probably the tougher periods.
Yeah. I do. You hear guys in your position, though, say that actually, and maybe sometimes they realise this as they're finishing up, that you have to be very selfish in a way to play at an elite level.
Yeah, you do. You do. Or, you know, I think that's something that I'm probably quite good at. staying present at home with the family is not. You know, being, you have to put your you get your priorities right. Obviously, family comes first, but you know, you've got to plan well. You've got to make sure that you're putting enough time aside for recovery, for too much time or as much time aside for if you're doing something outside of rugby, if you're studying, making sure you've got a good plan in place so that you know things aren't falling into each other's time. And
yeah,
I think that has been you know a key thing is getting more organised and making sure you know once you do that, you've got time for everything really.
Listen, the reason one of the reasons you rested up at the end of the season last year was, you know, the national obsession with Johnny's head. But you were cleared to play, but you just thought that to get yourself fully recovered and everything, you decided not to play in the semi final there. How is your head now?
It's great, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. It was great, I suppose, from. You know, after I got two concussions in short period, one against Wales, which I recovered well from, played the end of the Six Nations, perfect, you know what I mean? Then got a bang in the quarterfinal of Europe. And there's a world rugby thing where if you get three, you're stood down for a period. So we went to seek opinion after two because we didn't want to get to a stage where I was ruling myself out for what I thought was going to be an important end to the season with yeah. Europe and with the Lions. So we sought some opinion and the guy said, look, you know, all the tests you're going really well in. I think that you'd be fit to play, but could be a little bit of, you know, a risk because if you get another bang, you know, you're probably not giving yourself enough time to recover. So give yourself another couple of weeks. You'll be back for the European final if you get there. You'll be fit for the Lions. You know, you'll be good to go. So I said, okay, well, look, it's a no-brainer. Look after yourself, you know, look after your health, first of all. But then as a plan goes for the rest of the season, that's pretty good. We then went and lost the European semi-final, yeah. So I wasn't fit for the final. I also didn't get picked for the Lions. So it's a good lesson, don't plan too far ahead.
Take it while it's going, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes I think, you know, should I just play the semi? You know, I could have got through it. I was fit, you know, I was fit to play because I passed all my tests. But again, it's like your health is the most important. So
Do you worry about it? Do you worry about the head injuries?
No, because it's just been blown out. The stigma that's been attached to me was based off the fact that I was one of the first guys that took this stand down period after a couple of this was years and years ago, 2014. I got a couple of bangs and the French neurologist stood me down for 12 weeks despite the fact that I was good, like, you know what I mean? I was really good to go, like, and he said, no, you've had three in short period and it's important for you to do. So that's what is sort of got that to stick with me, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You feel it all falls on you sometimes.
Sometimes it's really frustrating because you know, how's that? Like, I'm going, why are you asking me? Like, I'm good. There's guys that have had a lot more concussions or a lot more, suffer a lot more problems. And it's a serious issue. I'm not trying to ever get away from that. And I feel bad. And I've been criticized before for sort of coming out and denying things, but I'm only telling the truth, you know. I'm not making things up, and there's medical records to back it up, you know. And
did you see that there's another study out this week from University of South Wales?
Yeah,
you saw that. Yeah,
but at the end of the study it says further investigation is needed. Like, I sat this talk with a couple of physios and doctors about the study, because like Our cognitive tests that we do every start of every year, we have to do a baseline test.
Okay.
And then if we ever get a bang, we have to repeat the test to see if there's any decline, and we're not allowed to return to play until we hit those markers. Yeah. So they would have my records from 18 years ago when I started playing professional rugby. And I don't think there's any decline.
Okay.
Thankfully, you know, maybe some people might say, well, there wasn't a strong base to work from at the start. But
you're as good as you ever were.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, maybe there is cases where, you know, but I haven't seen the study, and I haven't seen any of the evidence around it, so I can't comment too much about it.
Okay. You mentioned that one of the reasons that the Lions thing hurt you so much was because, like, obviously, I guess as you get closer to the end, every opportunity and every opportunity missed becomes much more important. So would you like to keep going after this season?
Yeah, technically, yeah. In my own mind, yeah. In an ideal world, yeah, definitely. Like, I've said this before, I love what I do. I'd love another shot at a World Cup. But also there's a lot of things that have to go right for that to happen. You know, you've got to, at this age, I think the thing is you got to be better, a good bit better than the next guy down to keep getting picked, because, you know, at some stage you're going to go to the future. And
yeah,
like I said, you need to be clearly better to keep getting picked, because they're going to go to that young guy eventually. So, you know, I want to finish at the top, you know what I mean? And that's the balance, isn't it? Like, you don't want to drag it on.
I presume you want it to be your choice as well.
That's the other thing, yeah. But, like, I love what I do. I still have, you know, ambitions. I still want to win with Leinster. I still want to win with Ireland. And, you know, as long as that's there and I'm fit, you know, you never, like, some lads that will be negotiating contracts now for, you know, next season, you know what I mean? Whereas with a 36-year-old, you're making your decision towards the end of the year, because you don't know what position you're going to be in. You don't know what. So, like, I'll make the decision March, April, May next year, like, you know what I mean? And see how everything's lying, and we'll make a decision.
I saw you were delighted to see Ronaldo coming back to Man United doing it for the 36-year-olds.
Yeah. I wasn't delighted to see him score a couple of goals. No, he's an incredible player. And I'm a Man United fan all my life. So, you know, it's great to see him back.
Yeah. But he's a kind of an inspiration to you as well, like, in terms of somebody keeping going at a high level in the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone that has longevity, that, you know, and if you aspire to have longevity, you're always looking to see what they're doing and reading up on things. So, he'd be one of them. You know, I've taken a big interest in, like, some basketball players, some tennis players that, you know, Federer's doing what he's doing at 40. Mm. So look, there's rugby's a very different game though. You know, it's obviously tougher on the body. You know, soccer is a very different game. So our game, I think it's harder to have that longevity.
I saw you say that you've been talking to some guys about the transition out of the game and everything. Does it freak you out a bit? Because presumably, here's this thing, like, that you define yourself by, and then one day you don't do it anymore. Like,
that's the thing. Like, that's where guys have said, you know, you're Johnny Sexton, the rugby player, one day, and then you're not. You know what I mean? So it's the identity piece. That's the bit. But I think the guys that manage it best are the guys that are prepared most for it, so that they've either studied well, they've prepared themselves well, they've gone outside of rugby to make sure they're well educated and well connected, and they're the guys that have seemed to have managed things better post rugby. So I've tapped into guys like, even, you know, with guys that had longevity, Dunnock O'Callaghan, Peter Stringer, you know, tapped into them for the longevity. But at the same time, I'm looking at guys that have been successful after rugby, you know, mentally and, you know, performance-wise, and sort of tapped into what they did to make sure that they managed things well.
Listen, before you go, I suppose the last year and a half has changed all of us in small little ways, maybe. Do you think, has anything changed for you in the last year and a half?
Yeah, like, I think you appreciate things, you know, a lot more. Like, I'd be the first to say I took walking out in front of 52,000 people in the Aviva Stadium for granted. You just think it's going to happen, you know, every day. And it was a good eye-opener. And, you know, I'm, like, really, really excited about, you know, the opportunity to get out there again and make that, you know, to be there for those big days in November and make sure I'm on the team when you're walking out to a full Aviva, or maybe not full, but close to full. You know, so that's one thing. I think the other things in life that you appreciate, you know, family time, which you got more of, but also how lucky you are to go to work every day and have a normal life. So they'd be the two things.
Yeah. Okay. Ireland and Leinster rugby star and Mace brand ambassador Johnny Sexton, thanks very much for coming in to me today.
Thanks.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.